Hari Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahana Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay, page 21, text 165. Let us accept that Krishna is superior to the Purusha avatars and Nrisimha and Rama. But let Krishna be equated with Vasudeva, member of the Chakravyuha, endowed with powers. Controlling, that means this is, I think this is the, what do you call it? Another argument, right? So in other words, he's defeated one thing, and so then now they come with the next argument, right? Because that's always the thing. Defeat one thing, yeah. So this is, okay, he's superior to Purusha avatars, Nrisimha and Rama, but now let's equate him with Vasudeva, okay? Vasudeva, member of the Chakravyuha, endowed with all powers, controlling the material and spiritual worlds and taking on many forms. His effulgence is greater than millions of rising suns. Sometimes he is black and sometimes golden, pervading everything and endowed with strength, knowledge, and radiance. He is known as the expansion of Narayan, the Lord of Mahavaikuntha. So?
What do you say? I don't know. Apricot.
Apricot. Okay. But this seems to me more apricot now. Okay. Though Krishna is superior to the Purusha forms, those who are devotees of Narayana cannot tolerate that Krishna is called the Swayam Rupa, right? Because we got before the arguments by Vishakshena. Yeah? Thus, they continue to argue. Let Krishna be Vasudeva, the first Chaturvyuha, coming from Narayana, Lord of Vaikuntha. Swayam Rupa is therefore Narayana. Because right? They understand the Narayana, that you have Mahanarayan, and then the Chaturvyuha. They understand that, but they place Mahanarayan in Vaikuntha instead of in Mathura. Right? Or they'll count Mathura as just Vaikuntha. Right? Because there he'll manifest four arms and do these things. So they won't go beyond him. They won't go back to Balaram and then back to Krishna. They just want to end it there. So they can take, okay, then it's come there, because from Mahanarayan, you have the expansion where you have Krishna and Balaram in Dwarka and Prajumna Aniruddha, right? By the mood there. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that aspect, then they're wanting to deal with that. The four members of the of this group are known as Mahavasta, or great condition. Instead of Paravasta, this is Mahavasta, or great condition. Vasudeva, Jai Ho, Dhanitar. Welcome, welcome. Okay. Four members of this group are known as, the four members are known as Mahavasta, or great condition. Vasudeva is the principal form in this group and is worshipped as the presiding deity of the Chitta. Footnote 3. Chitta is a representative of Mahat, Tattva, in the individual. He is the abode of the Vishuddha Sattva. This group of four expanded from the Lord of Vaikuntha is known as the Mahavasta. Vasudeva is the principal figure of these four. Some will deal with that Shankarshan is the principal, because the next Chaturvyuha will expand out of Shankarshan. But it doesn't mean that Vasudeva is not the principal.
Right.
Because you're dealing with Balaram now. Mm-hmm. So therefore, Balaram is the active element. Mm-hmm. So he's making the arrangements. So then they expand. But it's not that Vasudeva isn't the one that manifests all six of the Kalyana Gunas. Sankarshan will still only manifest two, right? Pajumna two, Aniruddha two. But Vasudeva will manifest all six. So one could look at, well, he's expanded, he's the one that's organizing this, so he would be the predominant one. But what's the point? The point is that you have to have a situation, you have to have inspiration in the situation, you have to have a goal in the situation, right? And then what will happen? There'll be an activity. Right? So the point is, it's all about the activity. So it's in the action that all the other elements are combined and the actual result is gained. So that makes Vasudeva the prominent. Yes?
When you speak about presiding deity, the citta, citta is also another name for consciousness?
Citta is not so much the consciousness, it's the heart. The living entity is sitting in the citta. The super soul is in the citta. Right, so it's more the heart, like that. But at the same time, as it does have that connection with consciousness. So when you're talking about citta shuddhi, then it's about purifying the consciousness. But it's more about purifying the element of your identification, how you see yourself, and everything like that. Because we see there's also manasa. Shuddhi, right, means the manashuddhi, that the mind is pure. But there you can say is that the citta shuddhi includes that, but it also has the element that I'm not the body, I'm the soul, like this. Because here it's mentioning is the Vishuddha sattva, means the mahatattva. Right? What's here? Okay, so the mahatattva being the principle, then that's where the identity comes in. So we purify that by bringing it to its actual position. But the citta is the heart. That's where everything's situated. The life airs are there, the jiva's there, the super soul's there. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
Yes.
What is meant when it says that they are the great condition?
That means that's the great condition, but not necessarily the highest condition. Right? The paravasta is above that. So they're even dropping the Shinga and Rama down below, down into this. Right? Because they're putting is Narayan, Mahanarayan is the top. Then you have down, so then that would make Nisringa and Rama expansions of however they're putting it as Vasudeva or Shankarshan. Right? So they don't have a concept of Paravasta. Yeah, only Mahavasta. Like that. This group of four expanded from the Lord of Vaikuntha is known as the Mahavasta. Vasudeva is the principal figure of these four. Text 167. The Amsha of Vasudeva is called Shankarshan. He is known as the second expansion, and because he is the place from which the jivas make their appearance, he is called Jiva. Right? So you have these terms. We don't focus on them much like that, but others do. They use the term. So then sometimes you'll see it there. So here what the meaning jiva is more or less he explains it here. No. That jiva is basically meaning servant. Right? So then you're going to have basically you could say three categories of jiva. Right? The jiva which we know as the vibhinamsha, the soul. The jiva which means Shankarshan, because he sees himself as a servant. And jiva as Lakshmi. Right? So then that's the principle. So when they do that, then they see very much a distinction. Right? They put the emphasis on that distinction as opposed to what's common. Like we don't make so much distinction in Bala. We understand he's a supreme personality of servant or Godhead. But in the past time, we don't make so much of a distinction. But when you're dealing in Vaikuntha, then you're going to have very much the aspects that what's happening in Vaikuntha, it's all about position. because you're worshiping God, yes. Right? So then there's always going to be the supreme. There has to be a top. Yes. And then everybody else is expanding and serving under that principle. Mm-hmm. So it works very nicely for them. Very clear, very simple. Like for us, he's the top, but then he's putting the, you know, Radharani's feet on his head. So it's slightly doesn't make sense to the Vaikuntha Wallas because it gets too complicated because rasa becomes more prominent. Mm-hmm. So prominent that tattva becomes even not important. Yes. Mm-hmm. But for them, rasa is important. It'll always be about pure devotion. But it's you could say, in line with, or it is flavored by the principle of tattva. Does that make sense? So that's why these points come up so much. Because we would say, well, what's the big deal? But that's because we're trained in this line, so we don't see how they're thinking. Mm-hmm. But they're looking at, you know, the majesty and all that. So where the greatest majesty is, that's where the top is. And anything after that is less, right? Sankarshan's complexion is as beautiful the rays of the moon of autumn, as the rays of millions of autumn full moons. He is worshipped as the presiding deity of false ego and places his amsha in sesha, situated as the inner soul of the demons, yama, the snakes, irreligion, and Shiva. Sesha destroys the universe. Okay. Does that make sense? So he's there because of the false ego. The demons are working just on false ego. So that aspect of the Lord is what is sitting there. Because Paramatma, if you're talking about, he's Purusha Avatar, that means he has the mood of I'm the creator, maintainer, and destroyer. Right? Does that make sense? So for the demons, then that element of destruction or the mode of ignorance is prominent. For the fruit of workers and that, you know, then the mode of passion will be prominent. Right? Those situating goodness, that'll be prominent. For the devotees, then that pure good, that rasa relationship is the prominence. Understand? So in other words, the Lord also has these flavors.
Yes. So Maharaj, if he's the presiding deity of false ego, is only in the material world? Sankarshan is only in the material world?
Sankarshan is?
Only in the material world?
Only? No. He's everywhere. It's just, that's one of his duties because he's saying here is Sesha. So basically you can say Sesha, then he takes care of the inner soul, the demons, the yama, the snakes, irreligion, and Shiva. Sesha destroys the universe. Yeah.
But if he is the presiding deity of false ego, there is no false ego in the spiritual world.
No, but then there's ego, there's identity. So yes. That the coward boys would identify that we're coward boys and we're friends of Krishna. That's coming from Baladeva. Right? So whatever the realm is, that will be there. So in Vaikuntha, that they're servant of the Lord, that will come from Sesha. That mood. That's following in that service to the Lord, that'll be following Lakshmi. Right? Then as actually serving, you know, the parampara, or the spiritual master, that will be Vishakshena. Does that make sense? So that's how the Vaikuntha would work. Right? You know, for us, it's that Baladeva that takes care of those things, identity. Yes. But Radharani is that loving mood. Yes. You know what I'm saying? Yes. Then we have the devotees that we're specifically working under. Yes. Right? Does that make sense? Yes. You know, so we'll take it back to Radharani. But at the same time, is that identity, that's coming from Baladeva. That's why it's by Nityananda's grace you give up the identity, I'm the controller and enjoyer. Right? And by His grace, then you can get Lord Chaitanya's mercy. So, yes? You want to say something?
I may have missed it, but why is there a need for a second Chaturvyuha?
Because Vaikuntha is unlimited. So then there's more. Because you have Mahabharatayana is in is the Mathura pastimes. Then that expansion, that first quadruple form is actually Dwarka. So what they're talking about here, the Mahavasta, that's Dwarka. And Mahanarayana, that's Mathura. But they don't take it to there. They just leave it in Vaikuntha. And then then from there you expand out unlimited Vaikuntha plans because there's unlimited devotees, so you need some space because there's a certain amount of devotees that are optimal for a pastime. Just like Rupa Goswami gives that in Radha Krishna's pastime, there's 5,000 to 6,000 maidservants. So when there's beyond that, then there's another pastime. There's another expansion, and then they serve within that. You know. So this idea is this: is, you know, as long as we go back to Godhead, we're all together. Not necessarily. You go back to God together with those who you have a relationship with. Then you'll be close with them. You know. So that's why if you go off and join different mats, you may be in a different scene within Braj. It's not that you're not in Braj, and it doesn't mean you won't meet up in the Maharas or something. But other than that, then generally you're not going to bump into each other necessarily, because there's no need. You already have 5,000 to 6,000 people, and they're quite competent to take care of it. Right. Yes.
Can we, from your explanation, can we understand that the first Chaturvyuha is within Goloka, because Mathura, Dwarka, and Vrindavan.
Yes, of course.
And then for the Vaikuntha planets, you have a second.
So then, then you expand again. Then Sankarshan and Dwarka means Balaram expands. Then you get Vaikuntha, and then there they keeps expanding and unlimited. Because even from each of the Chaturvyuha, there's expansion.
Oh, really?
So you get 24.
Oh, wow.
The 4 goes into 24, like that. So the Keshava, Narayana, Madhava, then 3 are from each. So you have 12, and 4 is 16. And then, again, from those, then there's 2 expansions. You know, Hari and Krishna, like that. So then you get 24. And then from that group, then Sankarshan again expands into the next Chaturvyuha, then who expands into the next 24. You know, and then that just keeps going unlimitedly. Yeah, Vaikuntha's. But it also, Goloka is expanding, but it doesn't have to go through that. It's just that you get more and more in the pastime.
Yes.
You know, because so as more and more living entities are involved, you just have another manifestation, and then those divas are involved there. So it's the same place. That's the thing. It's just, it never gets. It's never a point where there's no space. It's just there's more expansion. So everybody, whatever is their natural position of situation, they get that. I mean, if they can do that here in the material world. You know, you don't have the right spot in the material world. They can move you to a different universe. You know, so then why not there they can do these things? Because this is just a millionth of a millionth portion that they're. That's all the power it takes to run the place.
And where does Navadvip fit?
It's part of Svetadvip. So you have Vrindavan, Mathura, Dwarka, and Svetadvip. So it seems to be part of the Svetadvip. The Svetadvip also means the whole thing. So, you know, just like Goloka means the whole thing, but Goloka can also just mean Vrindavan.
Yeah.
So depending upon the context, then these terms can be used. Depending what you're bringing out. So Svetadvip will bring out that, you know, supreme pure platform like that. Goloka will bring out the element of Krishna liking cows. Like that. Because he still likes cows in Dwarka. He doesn't like cows over there. So that's so rural, you know. No, that's so Vrindavan, right? You know, he doesn't do that. Does that work?
Yeah, it's fire
out. Okay. Just wasn't quite sure when you opened. The way you're explaining it. So.
No, I was trying to understand Prabhu's question and then trying to.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Can't wait.
Okay, yeah, that's good. If it wasn't good, the acharyas wouldn't be coming here to sell it, right? You know? You know, it's not that they're miserable there and they want, you know, more people to be miserable. It's good. Like that. No, that, for that thing, Maya's doing her sale. She's got her pitch. Right? Yes?
It's also the element that the first quadruple expansion is called the Prabha Vilas and the second one is the Vaibha Vilas. So the first one, the Prakash is the expansions, you know, with the for the Rasa Lila, for example, and the Vaibha is with different moods and forms. So that's also that element is coming in.
That's there. You have, because you have that, you're putting it in there because of the, you're having to have that linear element to it. But the point is those expansions of Krishna, the Rasa dance, aren't coming from Mahanarayan. Right? They're just coming directly, just Krishna's man. But Balaram could do the same thing. The point is that whoever is doing that, that's what's going on. Right? Generally, others don't do it. Only Krishna does it in Vrindavan and Krishna in Dwarka. When he's doing it in Dwarka, then it is the expansion of Mahanarayan, that Vasudev, then is expanding and with all the queens in Dwarka. But in Vrindavan, it's technically not, it has the same name. That's the difficulty, is that all these names overlap. You apply it. So just like it shows Vilas is lower than that, but Balaram's technically Vilas of Krishna. Because Vilas means an expansion that shows less potency. Like that. Does that make sense? So each expansion is the Vilas of the previous one. Right? And only if it's a lot less, then it's called Swamsa. Right? So in other words, what has to be manifest in the material world is very less compared to what will be in other realms. Right? Because here, it doesn't take much to get people excited, you know. Come out with a new iPhone, people are standing in line for days. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So it doesn't take a lot. But in Vaikuntha, you're actually dealing on the transcendental platform. So they can handle the, and they appreciate, and will, you know, and it could be reciprocal in the great natural position of power of the Lord. So that's the whole point, is that, but there must be, in this, the point is affection. Material world is no affection, so there's very little to run it. Vaikuntha, there's affection, so you could say a full manifestation, right, of the Lord's potency. But there's more affection, right, than in Mathura, right? So that because of that, then there's greater manifestation than that. And the greatest affection is in Braj. So that's where the greatest can be, because he can do all these things, right? In Dwarka, in Vaikuntha, he always has to be formal, right? We see, you know, basically, I mean, it comes to my mind one example of a joke in Dwarka. That one time when he was joking with Rukmini. You don't hear other jokes like that. But in Vrindavan, that's all he does is joke. Right? So the problem is then those from Vaikuntha wouldn't be able to handle that. Okay, one joke in Dwarka, you know, because it's also Vaikuntha. It's just technically that's Maha Vaikuntha. Right? So then they can handle this one. The joke is still formal, and they're joking on religious principles. Right? And then it's just with his wife this one time, but then the response isn't that, she just cracks up and says, wow, you're really funny like that. She just faints. You know. So, you know, it's all in line very nicely with Vaikuntha mood. Does that make sense? So they can relate to that as that, you know, one-off, unique, special, that gives some special flavor to the standard of, you know, the court of God in Vaikuntha. Does that make sense? You know. So Vrindavan, it's every moment is completely different and new. So there's major pastimes. But, you know, within that, it's constantly, the flavor is always adjusting and changing, because he's dealing with the Surup Shakti. And Shakti means Visesha or special or always changing, right, to create variety. So it doesn't create a disturbance, it creates flavor. Right? So even in the material world, people complain that it's a disturbance, but at the same time as they don't go away. You understand? Because that's what gives the flavor. Does that make sense? But in the spiritual world, then it all works very nicely. Does that make sense? I'm getting too out of line here or something.
I'll wait for the movie to come.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's really where you learn, right? It sinks in, right? Sankarsana's Vilas expansion is the third member of the group. Prajumna, who is worshipped by the intelligent people, is the presiding deity of Buddhi. He is worshipped by Lakshmi with verses of praise in Ilavrita. His complexion is golden and sometimes bluish. He is the cause of the secondary creation of the universe and places his amsha in Cupid as the inner soul of Brahma, the Prajapatis, materialistic enjoyers such as devatas and humans, and Cupid, he carries out the creation. Right? So we see Sankarshan, he's taken care of because of ignorance here. Inner soul of demons, Yama, the snakes, irreligion, Shiva. Because demons because of the false ego. Yama because of what is correct and right and the rules. Right? Because Sankarshan means establishing the rules. Right? Yada, yada, yadharma, yeah, that's Sankarshan. Right? Okay. Mm-hmm. The snakes, they have a lot of false ego. They got poison. It's destructive. They have an ego of destruction. Right? Irreligion, you need a lot of false ego to get into that. Shiva, he takes care of destruction. Right? And that, and then Shiva, I mean, and then Sesha destroys the universe because it's with him. But that, in other words, that potency is coming, which is happening. Because Shiva has to get his potency from somewhere. Right? Even though he's Purusha, he's not independent. So that'll come from Sesha. Right? The destructive element. Okay, and then Prajumna then is the that interest, that desire, that wanting to expand, create the passionate element, right? But it's still intelligence, buddhi, but it's intelligence and how to analyze and apply in the situation. What can be gotten from the situation, and therefore become inspired? Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, it's just like men can take a situation, analyze it, come up with all different kinds of ways, and become very inspired. But then the women aren't inspired because it's what's the result. Right, so until it gets to Adiruddha, means it's all right if they can see the connection, but just to play with that doesn't create inspiration. The woman is, that creates the variety of results you can get, you understand? Because it's just intelligence, right? But it's attractive. Therefore, Brahma means the ones that create. Brahma, Prajapatis, materialistic enjoyers, devatas, humans, Cupid, right? And Cupid gets everybody else going, right? You know? So it's like... So just as there's Sesha here, he's Cupid, right? And then the creative element is carried out. Right? The vilas of Prajumna, right? Because then you have Vasudev, then his vilas of Sankarshan from him is coming like this.
Okay. But,
yes.
We see that from a material point of view, gradations. So Sankarshan is the highest.
No, Vasudev is the highest.
And after that, Sankarshan is gone.
Yes. Because Vasudev, having all four, he manifests the greatest. Because Vilas means who's manifesting less power. So even if Vasudev expands from Sankarshan, he still has more power. So Sankarshan's actually the Vilas.
Well, I wanted to say that. Okay. Sankarshan and then Prajumna and then Aniruddha.
Yes.
It means that Sankarshan takes the most kind of ignorance and he's presiding with it. And yes. Even in the material world, it's the lowest.
But these are only here that you have to worry about it. In the spiritual world, what do we put on the top? Right? Prayojan is on the top. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. So it's not Madan Mohan, you know, like that. You know, the element of Gopinath is on the top. Right? But, as we said, because it's the activity, the pastime that's the most attractive, therefore it's the Govinda mood within Gopinath. Does that make sense? So that's who is interacting with gopis. Where is it?
What's Gopinath has to do with all that?
Gopinath's Prayojan, that's Aniruddha. Madan Mohan is Prajumna and Sankarshan. Okay. Don't worry, second canto, this is all we're going to be talking about.
Okay, that's great. And so, Maharaj, just to clarify that all this description we need while we are here.
Yes.
And in the spiritual world, nobody worry about all this.
No, not us.
Not us, meaning if anybody else worry about
it? Vaikuntha, they worry about these things.
Oh, okay.
Like that. Yeah, okay. In other words, where there's majesty, then these are... Yeah. These are elements of Udipan that inspire them. right? Because of his greatness, because of his expansion, because of his doing all these things, become more and more inspired to worship the Lord.
Okay.
But for us, it's just Krishna's, he's the nicest person. How can you not love him? You know, and he's always doing more and more amazing pastimes, so you become more and more attractive. So it's because he's a person, not because he's God. He happens to be God, but that's not why you love him. But in Vaikuntha, it's because he's God. And of course, because he is, as a person, the nicest person. But it's the God element that is the factor you want to do it. In Dwarka and Mathura, then these elements of him being God are less. So we see it's just he's Paramatma. In Dwarka, Mathura, they don't really worry about that. But he does have four arms. But it's kind of like they're attracted by the sweetness, but it's still, that's Mahanarayan. So he becomes less and less like articulated. But in Vrindavan, it's like they don't even really, it's whether they know or not, it's just nobody cares. That's not the reason. You know, it's just like the mother loves her son, whether he's the prime minister or not. When he was just a little kid, she loved him. As he grew up, you know, he became a lawyer, she still loved him, you know, despite no one else loved him then. Then when he went to politics, then even less people loved him, but she still loves him. Then he became the prime minister, then she still loves him. Then after his office is over, and she still loves him. Like that. So it's about him as a person, it's not his position. So that's the... Yes. The Vilasa Prajumna, okay. Vilasa Prajumna is the fourth member of the group called Aniruddha, who is worshipped by the wise as the presiding deity of the mind. With a complexion of a blue cloud, he is skillful at protecting the universe. As the soul within religion, the Manus, Devatas, and kings, he maintains the universe. In other words, those who set that example, establish things, see that it's going nicely, not because of the rules, but because it's just the bob of this is what one should do. Does that make sense? Because there's the rules, this is what you should do, that's Sankarshan. But this is that you have that feeling or mood of religion, right? So that religion, Manus, Devatas, yes, that work on that, right? Kings, that's always that kind of mood. Yes. Like that, he maintains the universe. Like, so that means, in other words, the Lord is maintaining the universe, but he does so through these four aspects.
Yes.
Right. Vasudeva will be all the Leela avatars and everything like that. So he's the one who inspires. So in this environment of the universe, right, where the identity is established, the inspiration to act, the goals are established, then the pastimes are performed. Right? In other words, you have to have a place to perform your pastimes. People have to want to be involved. They have to have goals. Then the activity becomes worthwhile. Does that make sense? So the focus is on Vasudeva. So in other words, all the backup is all done by, how you say, by Sankarshan Prajumna Nadiruddha.
Yes. Seems like it gets more and more feminine as it goes toward Vasudeva. Is it more on?
Becomes more feminine
from principle to application and variation, and
because activity is the feminine aspect, form and activity is the feminine aspect, but there's still, you can tell the difference between the masculine element and the feminine element. Just like you take, you know, there's a cow and a bull, so they're both bovines, but you can tell that one's masculine, one's feminine. Just the attitude, everything about them is different. You know, cows are peaceful, nice like that. The bulls have this real, you know, kind of regalness to them and that. You know, so you can tell. So there's always the point is, because that question came up. Where did that come up? It came up, it was discussed by the acharyas. I think it may have been in Tattva Sandarbha, but I'm not sure. That because the Lord is manifesting through his internal potency, and his internal potency is manifesting as internal potency, so how would you tell the difference? Because the flavor, one is masculine, one's feminine. So in other words, it's the internal potency's service to make them is the manifestation, because Krishna is everything. So, you know, that's a little bit big for us to work with. So he comes in a size, an appropriate size that mentions that. That's by his internal potency. So that arrangement is by, Krishna does things through his potency. So he's moving his arm, that's his potency, he's doing that. But it's still him, the masculine, who's desiring and it's happening. So you can see, this is Krishna.
Yes.
Right? Yes. Does that make sense? So it's not that it's something different. So does that make sense? So that's why you have that element of the feminine. Right? It'll come up like that. But the point is you have to know where. So that's why the context, you know, we were discussing in class yesterday, is that the context of which the Vedic terms are used, or the example is used, then you can understand where you're situated in the explanation. Because Krishna is everything. So it's all him.
Yes.
At the same time, is he does everything through his energies. And it's, and there's a variety of energies, right? Unlimited, technically, but
yeah.
Like that. And so all these things are going on at once, right? Just like if you... you're holding your pen. So we say you're holding your pen. Mm-hmm. You know. But it's actually your hand is holding the pen.
Yes.
You understand? But there's a non-difference between you and the hand. Mm-hmm. In the sense of Krishna's energies. So he does everything through his energies, but he's the one desiring to do it, so therefore it happens.
Yes.
That's the uniqueness. He's independent. In the Moksha Dharma, part 12 of Mahabharata, however, Prajumna is said to be the deity of the mind, and Aniruddha is said to be the deity of false ego. Right? This verse presents a differing opinion. Right? We always use that Prajumna Prajumna is intelligence, and Aniruddha is false. Because otherwise, this point is if we're doing the goal. It means you look at it, how would that work? It means we don't define it this way. We don't use this definition. But it's not that it's wrong, because in the process of the mind, making a judgment call, it's based on what your ego is. So in other words, your goal is done by the ego. So it's still, the mind is the element there. Does that make sense? Your goal. But I will make my final decision on what I'm going to do based on my ego.
Yes.
You understand? So in that logical process, then you can put him there, right? And Prajumna will be the mind, because that's the where you first take it up and become inspired by samskar. You understand how they would do? Because you're taking these ones like that, and so then Sankarshan would be intelligence. Because then what are the actual things that you can do? So all they're looking at is that process of analyzation, what we call reason, and then placing the deities accordingly there. So that's why there's all these overlaps that becomes difficult. But we'll go by this what Rupa Goswami's given us, the main thing. He's throwing that in because it's true, but then you're using a different perspective for making that thing. Because what you're doing is looking at everything within the mind. So thinking, feeling, willing, you're looking at it within there. Does that make sense? Text 172-175. However, the previous view concerning these forms is authorized by the Pancharatrik text. So that's what we go on. Right? So that's the main thing. Because it's pointed out here is that Mahabharata will have information that may not even be in other scriptures. So we're following the Pancharatrik because that's what Narad Muni gives. So that'll be his opinion. But we will use this as an understanding of how, when we're applying the psychological process, how the deities are involved. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah. So then when you perform the activity from that, that's Vasudeva. But when you're analyzing, right, the information's coming in, right, because the first and fifth is information coming in and going out from the mind. Right? So the middle, the second, third, and fourth, are the actual reasoning process.
Yes.
So the first one is going to be by your samskars.
Yes.
Right? So because of your samskars, you will only notice certain things. So in other words, you're only attracted to certain things. Therefore, then you say, because that's mind.
Yes.
The second one is mind intelligence. Third is mind ego. Right? So therefore, we'd say that's Prajumna. Right? Then it will go into the intelligence through the memory and then analyze what are the options you can get from this situation. So that would be the intellectual part, like that. That would be Sankarshan, because he's who establishes what's to be can be done. Then the third step is then now, out of these options, which one to pick? You'll pick according to your false ego, how what your identity is.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like that. So therefore, then, how you say? Yeah. So therefore, you're going to, then you can say that's Aniruddha, because that's the goal. Right?
Yes.
But
yes.
That's actually the false ego of which it has made that decision.
Yeah.
You understand? So it works there. Psychologically, you could use it like that. But the Pancharatra presents it in the other way, so we'll use that. And this can be understood when you're just analyzing something there, so you have those touches of the aspect. But otherwise, we know that these are functions that are going on in the mind. So this is Aniruddha. So in other words, Aniruddha has these subdivisions of Sankarsha, Vajumna, and Aniruddha.
Yeah.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yep. Yeah.
Yes. Good. Oh. Sorry. Yes.
Since there are different perspectives like here, in our life, the different perspectives are also mixing together?
Yes, yes. Yeah. And so that's the thing, is that by training, then you can, you know which one to use. Because
yes.
Otherwise, then the tendency due to ignorance, we always use the opposite of what we should be using.
Yes.
That's the difficulty. With that. However, the previous view, okay. In the Padma Purana, it's described that starting with Vasudeva, these four are situated in the four directions, starting with the east in the spiritual sky. Right, so then Vasudeva will be in the east, Sankarshan in the south, right, because yeah. What's right and wrong,
yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Then Prajumna in the west, which is your inspiration and everything, it's also where the demons are and everybody who gets all fired up, like that. And then in the north will be Aniruddha, that's your results, that's where Kuvera is, that's where the bucks are. So that's what you want, right? So from Dharma comes Artha.
Yes.
You understand? From inspiration comes the activity. Does that make sense? So it works.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Everything's so perfectly arranged. That's what I say. If you understand these four, you actually understand how everything works. Like that, because that's what's pervading everything. Is these aspects. You know. Like that. Yes. Okay. As well, in the material world, these forms are distributed in order. Vasudeva is situated in the city of Vedavati, which is in Vaikuntha, surrounded by water. Sankarshan is situated in Vishnuloka, above Brahmaloka. Prajumna is situated in eternal Dwarka, and Aniruddha is situated in Airavati, within Swetadweep, in the milk ocean to the north of the ocean of pure water. He is sleeping on Ananta. Right. And Ananta is then expanded from Sankarshan. It all works together. Because
yeah.
They're the same person, it's just the different moods that they take. So that's the point. They can taste these four aspects. Because these are the four major aspects, you can say, of personality. Right? So in Krishna, we see these not so much in connection with creation and where he's situated, but you know, whether he's being, you know, attractive, and or whether he's under the control of the gopis, or whether he's being doing the right thing, or whether like this kind of aspect. So this is these are the four main moods of Krishna. Right. So then you take those four moods times the different ages,
yes.
Right? The four ages, and then I forget what the other combinations are, but you end up with 96. Like that, you know. So like that. But Radharani, then you have the eight kinds of the Nayika, right? Means that the eight
yes.
forms of whether she's where enthusiastically going there, or whether she's you know, going there and then arranging, or she's arranging before, or how she's making, or she's sitting there and he didn't show up, and then all these things, and then you multiply those by the ages. And then other factors, you end up with 200 and some odd, like that. So you always get more variety in the feminine.
Yes.
Like that. Yes.
Do they interrupt, forms?
Yes, in Krishna means we have Krishna and Balaram, and then the kids, you know. So, because Prajumna is his son, and then Aniruddha is his son, like that, you know. So then Aniruddha is his, we say, grandson, right? Prajumna is his son, and so Vajra, who is Aniruddha's son, is his great grandson. Yeah, it all works.
Nice out. Family.
Yeah, no, good family. Good family. Okay. People respect them. They got money. Got, you know, it's not a bad family. Like that.
What is the title of the... Krishna has 10 children and each wife, 10 sons. What title are they?
From what I can see is here that they seem to be Vishnu Tattva, but I'm not exactly sure. I haven't come across where they're described. But at least Prajumna, Aniruddha, they're all Vishnu Tattva. But whether the others are or not, I'm not sure. Because it could be anything, because you have the Lord and His energy, so any energy or anything can manifest. Just like with Bhumi and Varaha, then he ended up with Narakasura. Who was Narakasura? Yeah. Bulmasura. Yeah, Bulmasura. He became very distracted. And so then he became a demon. So it appears he wouldn't have been in the, Vishnu Tattva category. Because we're not so worried about Krishna's kids, so I guess it's not a major topic of discussion. I haven't seen, I don't know. I haven't. We don't have our Polish Walla here. He seems to have read so many things. He knows so many things.
He's getting his visa renewed.
Oh, okay.
He'll be back.
I don't know. In the Satvata Tantra, 9 forms are described. The 9 are Vasudev, Sankarsher, Prajumna, Aniruddha, Narayana, Nishinga, Hayagriva, Varaha, and Brahma. This Brahma is not a jiva, but the Lord Himself, as previously described. So then that was Vajra. Mm-hmm. Right? So that means from Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, since He is Prajumna, is going to create that attractiveness and everything, that element of the primary creation where it's put together. Not where the elements are distributed as Mahat. That's credit is given to Mahavishnu, right? That all the elements have separated, the 24 elements. But now taking those and the combination of what you can do with them to make all the situations and all the life forms and all the activities, that's going to be by Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. So that is Viraja. Yeah, it means that's the Hiranyagarbha aspect. But when we're saying, Rupa Goswami is mentioning about the two Brahmas, like that, and the Vajra, and then Brahma, who's the Jiva.
Yes.
So then, in other words, so generally speaking, if it works out, then you have Vajra, who is technically the lotus, right? So that element, the universal form is expanded from there and everything. Brahma expands from there on the lotus. So he's the Brahma that we see and manifests what we see. Like that. Then, but if Krishna's doing that, means that Brahma aspect is simply merged to him. Not necessarily that there's a jiva there, but it's just that potency is there. But if not, that potency expands and goes into that jiva. But if not, it remains with him as he just comes and he performs that activity. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But he only needs to use that part to do that, because the other part, how it runs, that he's doing that is Viraja. Yes?
Yes?
No?
Okay.
Is that connected to Prabhupada's statement? He says sometimes Brahma is not qualified, so Krishna comes into that position.
Yes. Yes. After 4 forms have been described, now 9 forms are described. However, the 4 forms with 4 arms are decorated with the highest amount of unlimited powers. This describes the superior position of the 4 amongst the 9. Because then these others then are... Because here Nrisimha would not necessarily mean the Paravasta, but it means because there's a Nisringa as a one of the 24. Or they're taking these as the prominent deities. Mm. I'm not sure why, what's the background of why nine. Mm. However, among the four, Vasudeva is complete, filled with bliss. He is non-different from the Lord of Vaikuntha in powers. He is the first among all of the original associates of the Lord of Vaikuntha. Among the four, the superior position of Vasudeva is indicated. One should not become disturbed when it is stated that Narayana is superior to Krishna. This is a superficial statement. An intentional mistake is made here. Krishna is said to be the first among the associates of Vaikuntha. He is described as an associate of Narayana. Right? Because we're also describing here not Swayam Krishna in Vrindavan. We're talking about in Dwarka. Does that make sense? Like that. So even for us, they're seeing it just purely in Vaikuntha. Like that. Does that make sense? Right, what doesn't make sense?
An intentional mistake, that just strikes me as an odd thing to...
Intentional mistake means by saying this, it's not wrong, but at the same time, it doesn't disturb how we understand it. Because we've already established how we, but for the Vaikuntha Wallas, then it's understood here. But there's Braja Krishna, that's in another category. They don't even know about Braja Krishna. Because for them, they're only talking about this lower Goloka. So it's actually basically kind of like Krishna and Dwarka, but it's in the Vrindavan scene. Instead of being in a city, it's in the country. Right? So then the queens are the gopis. In the same. So they'll look at it, that it'll go that way. So it has that opulence and all those kinds of things.
Okay.
This form of Vasudeva appeared as Krishna, since Krishna is known everywhere as Vasudeva. This is the argument given by supporters of Narayana. Right? So they'll say, that form of Vasudeva appeared as Krishna, since he is known as Vasudeva, right? This Vasudeva taking the name Krishna appeared on earth, because in the Puranas and histories, Krishna is well known as Vasudeva. So they'll say that this is the reason why he's the highest. 179. This proposition, however, is not correct. Please listen. Now begins the presentation of the real truth. Krishna is described as superior to the Vasudeva and the others of the Chaturvyuha. In the first canto, it is said, these avatar forms are all portions of the Purusha avatars. However, Krishna is the Swayam Bhagavan, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.28, an explanatory verse. Pumsha refers to the Purusha avatara. The Purusha manifests amshas such as Varaha and Kalas such as Kumaras. The word tu indicates a different idea, that Krishna is distinct, being the independent supreme form. Thus, the idea that Krishna is the Amsa of Vasudeva is defeated.
This is the verse Krishna spoke on one
time. Must be. But there's also this Thurma Pumsa. Ete Chamsha Kala Pumsa, Krishna's two Bhagavasa. So he's saying from the Pumsa means this aspect. It means the Purusha avatars, but the two means that Krishna is separate.
In his own category.
Yeah, his own category. Otherwise, there'd be no need to mention, because already you've established. The word Swayam would be meaningless if Krishna were an Amsa of Vasudeva. According to the Amar Kosh, the word two is used to indicate difference or emphasis. So both difference and emphasis that he's the...
Yes.
Right. So Amar Kosh is basically you say your main dictionary that you use for classical Sanskrit, right? But the Yaska means the Nirukta, and some of the others are used for Vedic. But the same thing is the classical is coming from the Vedic. So many times also they will quote from there. If it doesn't make sense in the classical, it'll make sense in the Vedic. Because sometimes the acharyas will use these older terms, especially when you're dealing with explaining things from Upanishads and that. So it's better to use the Vedic Sanskrit. But at the same time, as you need to be able to everybody to understand. So then classical will be referred to. Right. So here the classical takes care of it. Bhagavatam's classical Sanskrit. You use classical grammar to explain it. It's taken care of. But when you use the Upanishads, then.
Munya Williams. No.
He has a Vedic dictionary, but it'll have the same weakness that he won't use all the terms because he's basically approaching it like Western lexicography, where you break things down. While Yaska, I think it's 100 pages, and it's all the words that you would find in the Vedic literature. So that means what he's showing is how you create the word. So you'd actually have to know grammar to use Yaska.
Yeah.
If you didn't know grammar, it doesn't mean much. So the fun part is Prabhupada's quoting from us. So what does that mean?
He knows.
Devotees don't catch that one. Is that they're saying that sometimes he makes mistakes in the classical grammar, but they don't know that there's Vedic grammar. And anybody who can translate Veda means they know grammar better than your general grammarian.
Prabhupada never quotes the Munya Williams.
No, you would never. He never bothered. I mean, the acharyas don't. Why would we do it? Because all he's done is taken what's there and tried to put it together in something for the Western academy to use. That's basically, you know, so that they can know enough to make it look stupid. Right? So that's all you have to do. You know, you don't have to use all the forms that show the wonderfulness like that. So that's the
Aniruddha. Yes.
In the 10th canto, it is said, "My dear Lord, neither I nor anyone else can estimate the potency of this transcendental body of yours, which has shown such mercy to me, and which appears just to fulfill the desires of your pure devotees. Although my mind is completely withdrawn from material affairs, I cannot understand your personal form, which is so much greater than the impersonal Brahman." Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.2. This verse gives another proof of Krishna's superiority over Vasudeva. Even though I am Brahma, I cannot know with concentrated mind the glories of you, so I am Bhagavan, son of the cowherd leader, who have become visible to me. Your glories are greater than those of Vasudeva. You have shown great mercy to me. According to the Gopal Tapani Upanishad, Krishna was merciful to Brahma by giving him the 18-syllable mantra so that he could perform works of creation. Or Krishna is merciful because he has revealed his most astonishing form. Your desires follow the desires of the devotee. So either one, that he's seeing Krishna in Vrindavan, that's special. But at the same time as that he got the Gopal mantra with which to perform the creation. Because Brahma he's the engineer, but it doesn't mean the ingredients or the power of creation is his. He's just the one using them. So where does that come from? Right, so the blueprint comes from Vairaja, but the potency comes from the Gopal mantra, right? And so he can create.
No.
Okay. Okay. You do not deal with the jivas of the material world. You are pure knowledge. I cannot speak of your greatness, which is so much greater than the Brahman, which is a particular manifestation without form, qualities, or of pastimes. Without form, quality of pastimes. He didn't say qualities, quality of pastimes. Mm-hmm. Qualities are there, but not quality of pastimes. Mm-hmm. So because the quality is generic, it's impersonal. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Yes. Composed of pervasive self-revealing bliss. Pervasive self-revealing bliss.
Some high-grade bliss.
Yes. What more can be said? How much inferior is the Brahman? Right? Because here the form is so attractive. The qualities of the pastimes are attractive. The bliss that one gets from that qualities of pastimes and form is just so far beyond Brahman. Because Brahma, you would, being the head of all the Brahmanas and head of the Vedic culture, you would expect he would know Brahman. Right? But here, he's knowing the Lord as a person, so naturally he understands Brahman. And so he's able to compare the two and see they're very different. Deva Vapu means he whose form is called Deva. And this refers to Vasudeva, the first member of the Chaturvyuha. I, Brahma, am unable to know your glory, which is greater than Vasudeva's. What to speak of being greater than the impersonal Brahman? The meaning of the verse can be obtained by comparison with inferior objects. The author in this verse explains the meaning of the Bhagavatam verse. The word deva indicates Vasudeva. Thus, deva vapusha means of Vasudeva or then Vasudeva. In this abbreviated manner, the poet Bhatrihari is called Hari. The greatest of Krishna excels that of Vasudeva. Brahma is unable to understand that greatness. How can he understand? The greatness of Krishna can be understood by comparing it to lesser things. And so he can't comprehend the unlimited greatness, but he can compare to something lesser. That's how he's doing. Right? He's comparing to Brahman, he's comparing to Vasudeva. So that's why this is used as the example. Because he can't comprehend the greatness of Krishna, but he can compare it to what other elements he has been experienced in. So therefore, it's greater than Vasudeva and greater than Brahman. Right? Right, so here, lesser is not meaning a bad thing. It just means this. 185. There is a comparison with inferior and superior items. The inferior comparison is as follows. It goes without saying that the Kastuba jewel, which is more powerful than millions of suns, is more radiant than a small lamp. Right? Kind of basically, you would have to
to accept that.
Yeah. Superior comparison is as follows. It goes without saying that darkness cannot conquer the Kastuba gem, since darkness cannot even conquer the light of a small lamp. Right, so something is already defeated here, then it's automatically. It means if he is greater than Vasudeva, and Vasudeva is greater than Brahman, Krishna is automatically greater than Brahman. Right? You know, or the reverse. You know, this is so much greater, so naturally something with less power. This has got so much power, Vasudeva is not manifesting that much, Brahman even less, so that puts him as greater. Yes, sir? They use this because otherwise it means people will use their mind. No, but that's the next statement, right? But the point is by logic, you don't have any outs. That's the whole point is they just go through and just very exactly, there's no other way you can look at it. That's the whole idea. In the Bhagavatam verse, two expressions of inferiority are included. How much inferior Brahman must be if Vasudeva is inferior to Krishna? Right? And we don't even get into the material world. In the verse at hand, inferior comparison is used. If Krishna's glory is greater than Vasudeva's, then it must be greater than the glory of Brahman. Brahman is lesser than the less, means Vasudeva. Right? So you have supreme less, lesser. Right? So in other words, it's like in logic, you know, A is connected to B, B to C, so A and B have a connection. So if A is greater than B and B is greater than C, A is greater than C. Yes. Right? Like that, yes.
This explanation isn't meant for us to just get an idea because it's actually on an absolute platform. There's no lesser or greater.
Yes, but what we're bringing out is how much potency is manifest. That's the whole point. In other words, let's say is Nrisingadev, he has the same potency as Krishna does, because he is Krishna, but he doesn't manifest it. So that's why the demons, so that's what were the lessons. Just like Shankarachan Prajumna Anirudha and Vasudeva, it mentions specific qualities that they have and what they do. But each one can do what the other one can do, because they're the same person. But the point is he takes these four because then he can taste these four aspects continuously. You know, it's just like if someone he likes to sit around and joke with his friend, but then he gets upset when he has to stop that. At the same time, he likes, you know, getting into his work and really doing a good job. But, so we can only do one or the other, you know, or like sitting with the family and that, you know, the sweetness there. But Krishna can do all of them at once, eternally. So that's what the Chakravyuha is doing. Right? And then a specific Leela avatar means within that a specific flavor or taste is being gained. But it's still the same person. Right? So even though the Leela avatars are, you know, coming down in power, they only have to manifest that much power to make it work. But it means how much power does Varaha need to pick up the earth? Right? Just by his glance. he's created the universes and separated the elements. And he didn't even move. Right? So for Varaha to pick up, it doesn't take hardly any power at all. So he only has to manifest that much, but just that much power, you know, in unlimited power, is so much greater than anything that you know, men can do, or demigods or anybody, that it's you know, attractive on how. So that's opulence. It's because by opulence you subdue everybody else. Right? I mean, how you say it? Many intelligent people have figured that one out. The more money you have, the better it works, right? Is that? Mm-hmm. Okay. Then 188. Being very merciful, and because he has shown me his astonishing forms, he has shown mercy to me. Brahma had not previously seen those spiritual forms of Vishnu with four arms with unlimited powers, being praised by the 24 elements along with the devatas. Right? Because he's working in that realm, so that all the elements themselves personified are worshipping the Lord. Right? Like that. So it's saying, you know, everything's got a form. Right? Krishna performs all actions in conformity with the desires of his devotees. Right? Because there's the original devatas that are there before the creation. So it's like the deity of air is Vayu. But there's a deity before him that he's expanding from. In other words, his potency is coming from there. Does that make sense? Because in the Purusha Shukta, it's talking about the primary creation. But that's before Brahma, before anybody's been created. So how does that work? So that's with these personalities. Yes.
Can we say that those personalities are the original ones? They never destroy them.
Yes, because
the expressions, they come and go, like Vayu here.
Yes, because that's just qualified living entities take up the pose. But these are, they're there. But then in Pradhan, there's no manifestation. But in Mahat, then there's manifestation. Mm-hmm. But that's all.
So they're before Pradhan.
They're Pradhan and them are non-different. Right? In other words, when they're not manifest, that's called Pradhan. When they're manifest, then you call it Mahatma. Okay. Krishna performs all actions in conformity with the desires of the devotees. He does not deal with the jivas of the material world. Thus, he's excluded from being the Purusha avatar, who is the shelter of all the jivas of the material realm. So the Purusha avatar, he takes care of all the jivas. He deals with them, because as Paramatma, he's working with them. Yes. But Krishna doesn't. He only deals with devotees. Right? Yes. So those jivas who surrender, then he deals with them. But if they're not, then the Purusha avatar is dealt. Krishna's desires are dependent on the desires of the devotees. Krishna is not a form of Karanadakshayi Vishnu, because Karanadakshayi is the shelter of all the jivas in the material world. Because he is the shelter of all jivas, the Purusha is called Bhutamaya, composed of the jivas. Krishna cannot be called Bhutamaya because he does not perform this task. Right? Mm-hmm. So he's not called that. But it's not necessarily, we'll have to see, if in this Vishnu Sahasranam it's there, it means he, having expanded as the Purusha, then is Bhutamaya.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Does that make sense? Yes. But otherwise, Krishna himself doesn't perform this function. He does that function as the Purusha. Mm-hmm. Yes. Right? So here it means the Purusha means Mahavishnu, because his expansion is Garbhadaksha, his expansion is Giridaksha. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Right? Yes. If Krishna is relating only with devotee are very special.
Yes. Yeah, that's how he's Bhaktivatsala. Now he's known as Bhaktivatsala. The Mahavishnu will be known as Bhutamaya. In fact, because he's just the shelter of all the jivas. Right? So he's the shelter of all because he creates the universes, he enters the universe, creates everything in the universe, enters into everything, and then the jivas are giving forms, then he enters into that as Paramatma. So in other words, Purusha creates everything for the jiva. So he's the one who's Bhutamaya. Antarena manasa means with a fixed mind. Even if it is possible to understand your greatness consisting of the mentioned qualities, with concentrated mind, it is not possible to understand your inconceivable powers. Ekatana means with undivided attention. According to Amar Kosh, the qualification for understanding the Lord's greatness is thus stated. Though it is possible to understand the Lord's greatness by these qualities, Brahma says he cannot. This is because of the inconceivable powers of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Therefore, it is possible, but at the same time, it's only by the Lord's mercy. Right? So therefore, he has mercy up to a limit, and from that, he's applying logic and then seeing Krishna's position. Right? Does that make sense? Now, we'd have to admit, here, he's seeing the Lord.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
But the thing is he's still doing it by seeing, but he still understands position by comparison.
Yes.
You understand? Yes. So this is the point, is that whole idea is, no, the spiritual master, if he hasn't seen Krishna in Braj, then he's not a spiritual master. That doesn't work. Because Brahma, he's taken as a Madhyamadikari. And therefore he's able to see this and make those comparisons. And he's the head of Sampradaya. So if we use that other definition, then we have a bogus sampradaya.
Yeah.
Yes. Right? You understand? So the point is that's your ultimate position. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
That you want to get to. And we see as Brahma gets to that position. But the point is that it's about knowing Krishna means there's all these levels of knowing Krishna. So Krishna Tattva Vedi means knowing Krishna. Somebody says Krishna Tattva, it didn't say Krishna Rasa Vedi. It didn't say that. But that's how devotees are interpreting it. Krishna Tattva. And Krishna Tattva means at some level you see Tattva. It doesn't define at what level. Because Krishna is all of that. And the point is you can't say until you know all of it, then you can be Krishna Tattva Vedi, because the expansion of Sankarshan as Sesha with the thousands of heads, he has been discussing it since time immemorial and can't get to the end. So therefore then who's Tattva Vedi by that definition? So then you're going to run out of, you're going to limit yourself. So that's the difficulty of the neophyte. The neophyte is used to the limiting element. Right? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right. Unless we're taking devotee as on the as prema.
Yeah.
We're taking Vishwanath's definition there.
Yeah.
But you generally apply that for yourself. But if someone is acting in a way improper, you can bring that out just to put things into balance.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yes.
So the active principle in the spiritual master is the distinction between material and spiritual.
And here when we say spiritual, we mean the person. For us.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, then, for the impersonalist, then at least they can make that distinction or work for them.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because that's the platform that everybody works at. Even a neophyte, it's recommended he acts as a madhyama.
Yes.
So in other words, what are the standards of the madhyama and everything? He makes decisions according to that. Not necessarily as that realization, but that's his lifestyle. And the uttama comes as that, so they can distinguish and preach. Otherwise, they wouldn't.
Yes.
So it's the natural platform of the preacher.
Yes.
The
Krishna Tattva includes sambandha.
Abhidaya Pranjana.
Yes,
but it's just a matter of you understand how it works, even if it's simple. It's still Krishna Tattva Vedi. Nowadays not as much, but we see from what Satsuru Maharaj talks about in those 60s and 70s, that anybody who's new, the first thing they learn is we're not the body, we're the soul, we're servant of Krishna, right? The goal of life is to develop love for God, right? Krishna Prema, and the process is chanting. So they've given the sambandha, the Abhidaya and Paroja, and everybody knew this from day one. As soon as you walked in, sat down at your first Sunday feast, this is the first thing they would tell you. So they started off with this. Now, Why is it that that person then became a devotee, moved into the temple? He was preached to by a new bhakta. Because he was guru, because he had that potency. He understood Krishna tattva. Therefore, it's working. If we go to a yoga studio and talk this and that, and you know, go around and that, no one becomes a devotee. Why? Because we're not discussing Krishna tattva.
Right.
So that's the point.
So the rasa comes from the tattva.
No, tattva is explaining rasa.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
But the point is when you're only explaining rasa, it's called tattva.
Mm.
Like that. Mm. When you're tasting rasa, that's called, just like when you're discussing what is and identifying what is prayojana, that's the prayojana aspect of sambandha. Right there. Does that make sense? Because sambandha, being the knowledge, has to cover everything. So it's the aniruddha aspect of sambandha. But when you actually perform the activity and get the result and experience it, that's aniruddha. Right? That's prayojana. But when you say you can do this, you'll get that result, that's the result, that's the prayojana, but it's still within the definition of it.
Yes.
When I apply it and get the result, and I have the result, they can say that's prayojana. Does that make sense? Yeah, so like, in other words, we understand prayojana when we say love of God is our goal, but it's not that we're experiencing it.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So we understand. So that's the point. Is that someone who understands sambandha gyan, that's the spiritual master. It's not defined that he has to have tasted prema.
Mm-hmm.
That's better.
Yeah.
Because the point is, it's just like, if I know it's good to eat something, then I'm trying to tell you that it's good to eat, then it kind of works. If I've eaten it and I think it's great, then my explanation is going to be more convincing. So that's the reason that it's superior. Not that the others, that means the others are inferior in comparison, but not that they're inferior by how we use the term, meaning inferior means not good. Here inferior just means less. So in other words, the neophyte is not as much potency as the Madhyama, not as much as the Uttama, not as much as the Prema Bhakti, Prema Bhakta within Uttama. Like that. So therefore, the higher up you can get, the better. Right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Right. And so that's why we're, along with all these levels that we're dealing with, we're studying, we're reading, and that we're associating with those on that level. Because here, we're reading Rupa Goswami's book, we're associating with him. We're reading Baladevi Dibhushan's commentary, we're associating with him. You know, good association, one would have to, you know, admit, one would have to say. Not bad.
It's good.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, 91. Brahma, understanding in this way, concluded that Krishna's glory was greater than Vasudeva's and greater than impersonal Brahman's. Thus, in the Swayambhuva Agama, in describing the meditation on the 14-syllable mantra, it is mentioned that Vasudeva and the rest of the Chatavyuha are the deities surrounding Krishna, who is in the center. So I'm not sure what is, because Krishna is superior to Vasudeva in the 14-syllable mantra, Vasudeva and others are avarna deities, not the main deities. Okay, let's see. Om Namo That's 12. So what's the 14? Because Gopal is 18.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a 14 mantra. I'm not sure you know the 14? No? It was before. That was what Brahma used. But then they're describing here, so I would get the idea that 14 is a mantra that those from Vaikuntha would use. You know, like Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So there, who's around, at the center of it, that's Krishna. Right? Because you always have the main deity, just like in the temple here. Then Radha Madhava and Panchatattva, they're main deities. The Shringadev is Avarana.
Yes.
Right? It means he's a secondary deity. You know, same power in that, but it's not specifically his temple.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like that. So does that make sense? Yes. So most of the time you see in Pancharatrik temples, there's the main deity and then there's everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And at night. Here, Nishimede is a deity.
Lakshmi Nishinga is, yeah, it's just like in the temple, the actual main deity is Radha Madhava.
Yes.
Like that. Yeah. Most will call them small Radha Madhava. Mm-hmm. But those are from here will say Radha Madhava, then you have big Radha Madhava.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
So they're the main deity.
Yes.
Everybody else, and Lord Chaitanya. So yes. Lord Chaitanya's expansion of the Panchatattva altar. Yes. Like that, and then the Radha expanded as big Radha Madhava. Right? Like that. That's it.
So Mahaprabhu expanded into Panchatattva, who expanded into big Panchatattva.
Well, there was, yeah, that was just they made so that we were happy with them. Yeah, like that. I wouldn't get too okay. fired up about that. But they made Srivas Thakur first. You get yourself in trouble.
Yeah.
Like there's a limit to the process. Also in the Krama Deepika, in describing the 18-syllable mantra, Vasudeva and others are surrounding Krishna and are not in the center. If Krishna were not superior, these two scriptures must be considered false. Krishna and Balaram. Okay. Oh, Krishna and Brahman, not Krishna and Balaram. Krishna and Balaram. I think, oh, great. Now we move on to more like, yeah, no, Krishna and Brahman. Okay. So you dealt with the Vasudeva. Okay, we'll agree with that because, you know, of course, the impersonal idea, Brahman is the superior. So if Krishna is superior to Vasudeva and this and that, who cares? So that Brahman's the top. So now we're going to deal with the other description. 194. How can you say, so this is the argument. How can you say that Krishna is superior to Brahman? Because the scriptures say that Brahman and Bhagavan are identical. In many places in the scriptures, it's said that Bhagavan is called variously the Purusha, Paramatma, Brahman, and Jnana. Okay. Keeping in mind that the saying that if one cannot cross a small pond, what chance has one to cross the ocean? Some people, unable to tolerate the superiority of Krishna to Brahman, give opposing arguments. Saying the two are equal means that they do not accept Krishna as superior to Brahman. They justify non-difference by saying that Brahman, the Paramatma, and Bhagavan are synonyms, like the word gata, kalasha, and kumbha are used to denote one object, a pot. They do not denote different objects. Text 196. Because they can't understand how they're one, but at the same time they're superior. Because it's a matter of how much, in other words, how much of the opulence is manifest. That's the superior. Like that. 196. Thus, Skanda Purana and opulence means influence. So Brahman, basically, you're not manifesting really technically opulence. So where's the influence? Right? And so Krishna, he manifests the complete opulence. So he's the most influential. Like everybody's attracted to him. Thus, Skanda Purana says, Bhagavan is called Paramatma by the yogis. He is called Brahman by those who study the Upanishads. And he is called Jnana by the Jnana yogis. In the first canto, it is said, the absolute truth is called Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan by the knowers of the absolute truth, and all of them are identical. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.11. Quote, by the interchange of terms, it is understood there is no difference between them. Right, that's their point. The opposition. See, it says here that they're identical, so therefore, like that. 198. What has been said is true. Please listen to the words of Kapila from the third canto. There it is said, a single object is appreciated differently by different senses due to its having different qualities. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is one, but according to different scriptural injunctions, he appears to be different. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.32.33, an explanatory note. The form of Bhagavan appears as many. According to the type of worship, various forms appear to the worshipper. Because Bhagavan means he takes any form according to the devotee. Right? So how the devotee approaches is how he manifests. Just as one substance, such as milk, is the shelter of many qualities, such as form and taste, as perceived through various external senses, such as white color by the eye and sweet taste by the tongue. So Bhagavan, though one entity, appears as many different forms according to the type of worship. As the tongue alone and no other sense can perceive the sweet taste, and as the eye or any other sense can perceive only a specific sense object. So the different types of worship depend on the external senses, but depending on the external senses, perceive limited aspects of the Lord. And bhakti, depending on the heart, perceives all qualities of the Lord. Thus the best of scriptures explain the superiority of Krishna over the Brahman aspect of Krishna because of his full manifestations of qualities such as sweetness. So, does that make sense? So in other words, it's the same entity, same substance, but depending upon how you're perceiving him, that's where it's going to interact. Right? So that's the whole. Thus the 10th canto says, non-devotees, however, cannot realize you in your full personal feature. Nevertheless, it may be possible for them to realize your expansion as the impersonal supreme by cultivating direct perception of the self within the heart. But they can do this only by a mind devoid of change and capable of focusing on the formless. Only in this way will your impersonal feature manifest itself to them. So, unless they can get this, a mind devoid of change and capable of focusing on the formless. Right?
Yes.
So basically, it's
good
not
luck.
Possible.
Good luck.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes.
What is Brahman made of?
The effulgence of Krishna's qualities.
But in action. Is it made of Satchitananda?
No, it's Sat.
Sat.
Yes.
Just Sat.
Yeah. Or you can say the situation is Sat.
Situation is Sat.
But the point is Krishna has all these glorious qualities, so the effulgence of those qualities, that's Brahman.
Right.
So that Brahman pervades everything, because it's his qualities that are in everything. Whatever you're doing, like you're sitting on the how do you say, the blanket. That blanket has the element of warmth or comfort or softness. Right? So those are all Krishna's qualities. So that's the Brahman aspect. So it does what it does because of being pervaded by Brahman. That you can interact with it, that's controlled by Paramatma.
Right.
You know, and what blankets do, that's coming from Garbhodaksha Vishnu.
Why do the Mayavadis want to merge them?
They're less intelligent, even though they're so smart, because their intelligence is stolen by illusion.
It's a false ego?
That's there also, yes, because they never give up the Purusha Bhav. Mm. So to understand Krishna the person, there has to be the endeavor to give up the Purusha Bhav. Well, they don't give that up, because their idea is they'll be the controller and enjoyer. I was going to suggest you put it on this side here.
I can merge. I need to merge. Thank you.
Now you get, don't worry. You were worried it was blowing out that.
Yeah, right.
Okay, two verses are now given to clarify the meaning of the previous quotation from Bhagavatam, 3:32-33 in verse 199. Right, because that was the 199 was the. Yeah, it means. Okay. Okay, the single is appreciated in different senses. So that's the Kapila is giving a third canto. O powerful Lord, Though you are endowed with qualities, implied but not directly stated, still it is possible to understand your glories as the form of Brahman, which does not manifest your qualities, just as a reflexive verb, such as the rice cooks itself, indicates self-action. In this verse, the mind is said to realize the Lord on its own. What is the cause? Pure internal functioning is the cause, produced by itself. But how is it possible to concentrate on the Brahman, which is devoid of change, by using the internal functions, which are subject to change, in order to attain realization? Thus, this realization does not have the quality of change. By association with the changeless Brahman, the internal organ also loses all change, like the dissolution of salt in water. But the mind fixes itself on objects with form. Right. So that's the point, is that it gives us that's an example given by the Mayavadis, is that you take salt, you put it in the water, it merges like that. And then I'm not sure, one of the acharyas said, you know, then told the person, taste the water. Right? The salt's still there. So it hasn't merged. It means the quality of salt that makes salt hasn't merged.
That's right.
So that's the point, is that it's still, you know, there, so the difficulty has no form. The mind is capable of concentrating on objects without form. The eye can perceive objects with form, but also can perceive objects without form. This is explained in another way. He who possesses the Atma, which is self-conscious, is able to perceive that formless Brahman. It cannot be otherwise. There is no other way of perceiving it. The Brahman must be perceived by the internal organ endowed with these properties. It is realized as the substance of knowledge, which has no form and no change. It is like understanding the sun through the effulgence of the sun. It is not difficult. Right. So in other words, those who understand the three forms then can, by that concentration on the formless aspect, the mind then becomes changeless. It can appreciate the formless, right? But it's so much easier to deal with the form, because then it's something that the mind relates to very naturally. Right? 207, 208. In time, learned philosophers or scientists might be able to count all the atoms of the earth, the particles of snow, or perhaps even the shining molecules radiating from the sun, the stars and other luminaries. But among these learned men, who could possibly count the unlimited transcendental qualities possessed by you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who have descended onto the surface of the earth for the benefit of all living beings? Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.7. Well, it is not surprising that Krishna's qualities cannot be counted. So this is the argument. Because Krishna has a material form, and thus those qualities are illusory, like a mirage in a desert. So that it can't be counted, because it's that who can count an illusion anyway. So the impersonalist raises another argument. The qualities are illusory, like the blueness of the sky. Right? Means sky doesn't have any color. Right? Because it's something that only can be perceived by sound. Like that, so not by the eye. So what you're seeing there, that's something else. That is not so. The Lord's qualities are not material, because these qualities arise from His spiritual form. They are all filled with spiritual bliss. This is the response to defeat the argument. Illusory qualities apply to material objects, but not to those related to the Surup of the Lord. One cannot project material qualities on an object which is non-material. Right? So if we're saying he's Brahman, because we remember we started the argument by saying they're all the same. Yes, so they've accepted that we're dealing with Brahman here. Mm-hmm. So what does he call them? You say the impersonalists, okay. So then the point comes here is that those qualities, if he's Brahman, and you say because he's Brahman, the qualities he has must not be real, must be illusory. But how can you project something material on something transcendental? Yes. Right. So that means the qualities must come from there. Text 210.
Knowledge.
Oh. Okay. Is that a trick when you stand up it goes quicker or something?
Then there you go, walks out with my quarter too.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki,
Jai
Salaveta Bhaktivinoda ki,
Jai
Nitai Gaura Premana ki.
Okay. Yes, yes. No, it means the element of sat, just being on the transcendental position, they'll experience that. But the problem is that the ananda of the soul, that ananda is perceived when there is interaction, when there's rasa. That's there. Otherwise, if they're just dealing with existence, it itself has an ananda, that's self-satisfied, but it's not that great. It's just a neutral position. So because this jiva requires the ananda based on rasa, then they have to either move forward into devotional service or backward into material life. So generally, persons will move back into material life. The demons who are killed by the Lord because they were attracted by the Lord, then thinking of that, then they may be attracted and move forward to Vaikuntha. Like that. But otherwise, unless you're a demon personally killed by Krishna, then there's no real option for that. So they'll all come back here. But if someone hasn't left the body, like the four Kumaras or Sukadev, then having come in contact with the Lord, then they go, they understand, because they're only on the transcendental platform, they're getting a bliss that doesn't come from that just existence platform. Then they understand, now here's superior Brahman. So then they take up the worship of the Lord in this form.
What they experience, the bliss they experience in the Brahman is, I mean, out of body, then it's not enough to keep them there.
No, it's not. Because it doesn't deal with chitta and ananda of the soul. It only deals with sat. So it's not full for taste for the soul. Like that's why we'll say it's a foolish. Because the same endeavor that they take to get themselves to Brahman and detach themselves from the world, they're already doing that. They could also be attaching themselves to Krishna. It's not all it is the consciousness. It's not the endeavor is the same, that they're being renounced, they're being that, they're studying, they're performing their duties. All they have to do is do that to please Krishna, and they'll already get the renunciation and the liberation. But at the same time, they'll get bhakti. And so they'll move forward that way. So that's why it's a waste of time. Why would you do something and that you get a result, even though it may be great, that you'll lose? Well, with the same endeavor, you can get a result that's unlimitedly times better and eternal. You know, same with the materialist. He's making the same endeavor, let's say, as a household to maintain the family. And he's just getting a very temporary result. With the same endeavor being done as Naishkarmi, he can get liberation. The same endeavor being done with Naishkarmi and to please Krishna, he'll get bhakti. So it's not that you change the mechanics of the situation that anyone's in. You just change what their intent is, what their ultimate goal is. And then that's what it does. It's not that we have a different process. Like the process of getting out of the material world for us and the impersonalists are the same. But they don't add the element of getting into the spiritual world. So that's the weakness. And the mechanics of endeavor are the same as the karmi, because mechanics are mechanics. And the knowledge that we use, it's the same. The knowledge of bhakti, the same as the impersonal, is the same, because it's knowledge, because Krishna is jnana. So that's the thing, is the karmis only take the action, the jnanis only take the knowledge. But we take the action and knowledge in connection with bhakti. So that's Buddha Yoga. That becomes
complete. The person he feels there's no greater gain, Jesus. He's feeling there's no greater gain.
Yeah.
But then Then the next part of spoke Krishna almost sarcastically says that this is indeed happiness arising from cessation of material misery.
This material world doesn't have any happiness, really. People try so hard. You know, they really try hard. They really think there's something there. They really identify with the conditioning. They think they really got to do these things. You know, they're important. You know, even though they may disturb other elements of their life, you know, especially the devotional, but somehow it's so important.
Lack of knowledge.
Or lack of realization. Because it's not that dog. Basically, any devotee has enough knowledge, technically, to get them back to Godhead.
Yeah.
The difficulty comes is that they don't apply it in their life. So that contemplation, that practice, so therefore the realization is less. But if they keep at it, then even though they're doing things that aren't necessarily ideal, if they add Krishna into that and think that, then it will work. So the point is, it's connected to Krishna, then it's viable, it starts to work. But there's recommendations on what is an ideal connection, you know, in other words, that will be progressive and dynamic, because other ways of connecting, they have weaknesses. If it's not pure devotional service, there's weaknesses. And one could say that it's going to, you know, if you stick at it long enough, it'll get to pure devotional service, true. But you have to stay on the path of devotion to do that. The weakness is the weakness itself. Is that mixed devotional service, the weakness is the mix, not the devotional service. So the reason it's there is because of our attachment to it. So we can easily get distracted by that attachment and not be engaged nicely in devotional service. So it's not considered a strong position. Pure devotional service is considered strong. So that's what's recommended. That's the position of nishta. Right? Because we're steady. So that's what's recommended. Right? But there's still, you're engaged in that, that's your purpose, but there still can be some slight distractions because it's only 75%. Mm. But as you get a taste in ruchi, yes, then basically whatever was there in the mix, that's just dropped. Mm. Right? And so then from that ruchi then very quickly, then the process becomes very quick. You know, anartha nivriti will be slow, ruchi will be, nishta will be a little quicker, but once it gets to ruchi, that's when it speeds up really fast. Because ruchi and asakti are basically, you could say, more direct expansions of bhava. Bhava kind of like comes down in its form of ecstasy down to there, though ruchi is just a small amount of ecstasy, right? Asakti is greater ecstasy. Bhava means that full ecstasy, right? Yeah. But you know, but it's still that power of bhava, that platform of that devotional service that is reaching all the way down to, you know, the, how you say, shraddha. And then even before that, in associating with devotees, because the person gets a taste being with devotees. He hears, it makes sense. So he's already starting to get something from it. So if you don't get a taste, you won't do it. So it has to be bhava that's inspiring them. But it's not as manifest as, you know, it's like.
And we emphasize association because we still have a taste for the mix.
We emphasize association because that's actually the process. That is devotional service.
But after nishta, it would be automatic that you would be.
Yeah, it means we. Yeah, but it's so. In other words, before that, one would emphasize it. Otherwise, one might tend to ignore it.
Yeah.
After that, the emphasis is because that's what one wants to do. So it becomes very natural. Yes, but Krishna, it's all about associating with devotees. So for Krishna, the whole only thing worth doing is associating with devotees. So therefore, that's why that's the real thing in devotional service. It's not being moral, it's not being a good man, it's not being this, being that. It's about being
taking advantage of the association with devotees. You're doing that, the process will continue. The difficulty is if you give that up, that's when the trouble comes. But if even one has trouble, if one's in the association of devotees, one will get through it because you have association. That's the real core of the whole thing. And devotees, what makes them devotees is you always hear and chant. Therefore, the activity is, you know, chanting. But it's the devotees you hear chanting from. It's the devotees you chant with. Yeah.